Raphael Lemkin, a Polish Jewish lawyer born in 1900, narrowly survived the Holocaust. He lost dozens of members of his family, including his parents. After experiencing this tragedy and seeing the absolute worst of mankind, he coined a new term, genocide, to describe the targeted destruction of the Jewish people and other groups. Generally speaking, genocide does not necessarily mean the immediate destruction of a nation, except when accomplished by mass killings of all members of a nation, Raphael wrote. It is intended rather to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aiming at the destruction of essential foundations of the life of national groups, with the aim of annihilating the groups themselves. Now, in the aftermath of the October 7 massacre and the ongoing war in Gaza, the term genocide has been co-opted by anti-Israel protesters all over the world, as well as a surprising source, the Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention, a nonprofit with a mission to connect the global grassroots with the tools of genocide prevention. According to Joseph Lemkin, a surviving relative and attorney, the institute fueled misinformation days after October 7, claiming Israel's defensive measures were genocidal. I believe reference was made that Israel was annihilating the Palestinians. The Institute's silence in the face of thousands of rockets being launched from Gaza to Israel is deafening and tells us all we need to know. Indeed, on its website, the nonprofit has issued an active genocide alert for the war in Gaza, stating on April 8, 2024, the Lemkin Institute is horrified by the dire situation transpiring in the West Bank. During what has already been a devastating 6 months of conflict in Gaza, the Israeli military and far-right settlers have used the cover of war to conduct continuous attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank, often leading to death and forced displacement. These attacks have been underreported in the mainstream Western press, which has also failed to tie Israel Defense Force, IDF, and settler violence in the West Bank and East Jerusalem to the genocide being committed in Gaza. Joseph took action by responding with cease and desist letters. He also sent letters with his concerns to Governor Josh Shapiro's office, as well as to other Pennsylvania officials, since the Lemkin Institute is located there. I believe the word is being misused and abused for anti-Zionist purposes, Joseph said. Genocide has a precise legal definition. That definition has no application to a country defending itself from terror attacks on all of its borders, from protecting its citizens from thousands of rockets each year. It has no application to a defense force that warns civilians via text messages and leaflets to make sure they are out of harm's way. It is because Israel is the only Jewish state that the term is abused in such an awful way. The Institute also condemned Israel for killing Ismail Haniyeh, a Hamas leader, and allegedly called Hezbollah a victim of Israel's terrorism. The improper use degrades Raphael's legacy, particularly as a fervent Zionist, said Joseph. He would want to have nothing to do with the Institute and would certainly not allow his name to be used for anti-Zionist purposes. Joseph has sought out counsel for help contending with the tarnation of Raphael's legacy. A lawsuit is definitely an option being considered, and he seeks to have the Lemkin name stripped from the Institute. Moreover, he said, we hope to have such institutes who purport to be academic institutions educate themselves on what Raphael stood for and educate themselves on the real meaning of the heinous crime of genocide. For Joseph, this is about more than making sure the word, genocide, is being used correctly. It's also personal. My dad was the sole survivor from his family, he said. Both parents and one brother were slaughtered at Auschwitz, and two brothers perished as underground fighters. They knew what genocide was along with the 60 other Lemkins killed by the Nazis. My dad was close with Raphael. He helped support him financially in life and even in death. Raphael died a pauper, and my dad raised funds for him to have a proper Jewish funeral and was one of the few at his graveside funeral. My family hopes that we can protect Raphael and his legacy, just as my dad did.